It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Lights. Camera. Action. It's the KSL Movie Show.
Not getting a real under control vibe here.
With Doug Wright and Steve Sales. The week's big movie review, movie news, trivia, games, and prizes. All on the KSL Movie Show. Here's Doug Wright.
He's not a monster, Gaston. You are.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
And a good morning to you. Welcome to the movie show here at KSL News Radio. Now, we're spread out all over the place today. Now, I'm not back in Nova Scotia this time, but we are hanging out in beautiful Layton, Utah, at Minky Couture, and of course the show at KSL Broadcast House, downtown Salt Lake City. But Stephen Sales this week is broadcasting from his palatial estate in unincorporated Salt Lake County somewhere. It's a secret location. And Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Doug. I decided to take a cruise this week since you went last week.
Oh, so you're doing the Sandy Fall Foliage Cruise, huh?
Yes, well, the visuals are a little limited, but, you know, from my boat, I can, if I, you know, stand on my tiptoes, I can see some.
Well, it's always limited when you've been taken hostage and you're blindfolded, Steve. You know, that's the whole thing. Hey, listen, I'm going to rat you out. Steve's doing yeoman's duty today because he's had a little bout, as my kids would say, of the vid. I thought you were going to be the last man standing. You know, I thought they were going to make a superhero movie out of you, the only guy that did not get COVID in the last 2.5 to 3 years. So what's the deal? You know, did you
I made the mistake of going to a concert with one of my daughters, and apparently I got super spreaded. So who knows? I think I picked it up last Thursday, but tested on Sunday. And then, but I feel great now. I think I'm back, but I just wanted to make sure and on, you know, caution.
on the side of caution. Well, I appreciate you doing this on the phone today. So, Full Tilt with Minky Couture today. I was just talking with Sandy, just talking with Christine, and I suspect they've got a plethora of great products for us. I'm looking around at the Halloween stuff, and it looks so much fun, and we'll see what the skinny is today here at Minky Couture. But, Steve, I think we probably ought to go ahead and give everyone the movie show preview, sponsored by Call Climate Services.
The following preview has been rated G and is appropriate for all audiences.
Coming up on today's movie show, the big movie review.
Okay, the big movie review. Now, Steve, I know you are going to maybe slink into a totally unoccupied studio, sequestered somewhere, and try to see Black Adam. Did you see Black Adam?
I did. In fact, I saw it and then ran over to the other theater to see Ticket to Paradise. So I'm covered.
You're covered. Well, I'm glad somebody, because, you know, I was a little concerned. I didn't know if you were going to be able to or not. And I have seen it. And so we also recruited our friend, our DC expert in Broadcast House, and that is Don Brinkerhoff. I mean, he's the, you know, we turned to several different geeks for enlightenment on these things. And, of course, you know, Andy is somebody we always go to, especially in the Marvel Universe. When it comes to Superman and DC and, you know, Black Adam, you know, we thought, well, we better get Brinkerhoff on with us. So he's going to be joining us. But Black Adam. Now, Steve, in about 3 words or less, do you want to explain that movie to me?
Let's see. I wish I could. How's that in 4?
Yeah. I wish I knew. You know, I'll tell you, I walked out of there going, holy cow. How many times have I whined about this, Steve? That now I'm going to see, you know, I'm innocently walking in because I'm a fan of a lot of the people in the movie, not the least of which is Dwayne Johnson. And I thought, well, you know, hey, and I walk out and I go, how many new superheroes do I have to keep track of now? There's a whole new gaggle. There's a whole new garden of them right now. So maybe Brinkerhoff can enlighten both of us. What do you think?
Well, I tried to do some research on it. And yeah, there are five new superheroes, but they seem awfully similar. The divide between Marvel and DC is closing in.
Yeah, yeah. And did you notice that DC's trying to get a little sense of humor in this, which is weird because this is a real dark concept. All of these wizards create this. Anyway, 5,000 years ago, at one time I was actually going, are we on Earth? Where are we? So there's some splenin' to do, and we can probably have Don Brinkerhoff help us out. But you mentioned Ticket to Paradise, School for Good and Evil. I was watching that one. You've seen Tar, Decision to Leave, Raymond and Ray. We've got a lot of films to talk about up on the big screen and also streaming. And as we look over the rest of the day, we've got movie news. And, Steve, this has been a long-running tradition going way back where the Tabernacle Choir on Temple Square gives me a little phone call in October and goes, can we join you to talk about the upcoming Christmas concert? And I always tell them, are you kidding? Of course you can. We'll be joined by Mac Wilberg. We'll be joined by Assistant to the President Ron Gunnell. And I'm hearing that we might have a special guest. Certainly we'll have a special announcement about the Christmas concert that will be coming up in December. So I'm looking forward to that. And I so appreciate our friends at the Tabernacle Choir and the, you know, of course, orchestra on Temple Square, the bells on Temple Square, it goes on. And for always, when at all possible, making the announcement of these special guests here on the movie show and back in the day on the old Doug Wright show.
The movie show.
I'm sorry, Tony.
If I see a situation pointed south, I can't ignore it. Sometimes I wish I could. Sometimes I want to punch you in your perfect teeth.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Okay, it's time for the big movie review of the week. And let's do away with the open here because we need the time to try to sort this out. Let's get a little sound, though, from Black Adam.
This loose cannon needs to be locked down before innocent people start getting hurt.
He's been asleep for 5,000 years.
If you find us a cell that can hold him, we'll take care of the rest.
Black Adam.
We're here to negotiate your peaceful surrender.
I'm not peaceful, nor do I surrender.
Here we go.
Okay, Steve, you know, I think this is a movie where for those of us that are mere mortals and we weren't steeped in the DC universe, and haven't, as you mentioned, you know, and you said the operative word, and I did a little bit of the same. After the movie, then you come home and you do your research. You know, that's not the way it should be. You should be able to go into a movie and pretty much get the drift and enjoy it. And I started getting a little of the drift toward the end, but holy cow, this is a complex movie. It ought to have a playbook. You ought to have an organizational chart on this. Because when you have Viola Davis in there and you recognize, okay, this is tying back to something that I should be familiar with here, and then there are little tidbits here and there, but I'm not kidding you, Steve. This one just kind of baffled me, and I just decided, okay, I'm going to roll with it. Maybe there'll be enough tidbits that are dropped that I can kind of catch the drift. But I have to admit, you know, that's why we're inviting our friend Don Brinkerhoff to join us to do, because, Don, you got some splaining to do, but, Steve, what are your thoughts on this movie?
Well, I have to admit that normally when you see Dwayne Johnson in a movie, he's the hero. And in this case, he's obviously the anti-hero for, you know, a large percentage of the film, but he does kind of come around. I thought that took some acting on his part because, you know, he's very charismatic. And for him to kind of suppress that is interesting. The other thing is I thought it was kind of a mess. Lots of action, very little conversation about character. I'm sure this is kind of a setup, but boy, I just think it's a little messy.
Yeah. And, you know, and I hate it because, you know, I might not be the smartest guy on the planet, but I'm not a total dolt. And usually I can kind of get the drift on something. And as I mentioned, as we went through this, I started getting a little bit. But there was really a time in this movie, and I was awake for all of it, Steve. And I went, are we on Earth? Where is this? And it was so bizarre. Let's, you know, as a matter of fact, what we're going to do here, I'm assuming we have Don with us, and I think what we're going to do here is, yeah, we do have him with us. Let's, because he's probably trying to do research. Okay, how can I inform these two dolts what this is really all about? And in very simplistic terms, so even Doug and Steve can understand it, we're going to give him a little breather here while we take a break. But Steve, before we do talk to Don on the other side of our news, what's your grade? I have no idea, because like you, there were parts of it I liked. I liked kind of I'll use your term, the arc of the character here of Black Adam, because I agree with you. I mean, Johnson was really doing some acting in this one. He wasn't just flying on his charm. And there were some other characters that I became a little sympathetic to, but I'll use your term again. You know, it's such a mess. I'm only given this 2.5 stars.
Yeah, I'm at a B-minus also. I did like Pierce Brosnan. I thought he brought a lot of weight to this, to Dr. Fate, which kind of reminds me of Dr. Strange, by the way. But, oh, well. So there are – and I thought the visual effects and the action scenes were really quite stunning. It's a fun movie. It's just kind of a messy film.
Yeah, Pierce Brosnan, you're right on that. He brings some real class and some real weight and character to this movie, and of all of the characters that we are introduced to, for many of us who aren't, you know, total DC geeks or comic book geeks, he brought some continuity and some, you know, in business they call it corporate knowledge. What little I kind of got on what might have been the past and so on, I got from Pierce Brosnan in this movie. All right, let's take a break, and we'll ask our DC guru to join us and kind of try to break this down for us a bit. That's coming up in just a minute here on The Movie Show with our Don Brinkerhoff. It is 9:30 here at K.
And now, the big movie review. Doug and Steve tell you exactly what they think of the biggest release of the week.
Okay, you heard our thoughts on this one, Black Adam, and it's a big production. And boy, I'll tell you, when I went to see it at the special screening at the Valley Fair Mall Theaters, there was a line all going clear out and down into the mall itself, and the folks that were there, they were fans. And obviously, Steve, you and I have been through this before. They were hooting and hollering and, you know, gasping at places that impressed me, but I didn't get it. They did, and they were having a really good time. One thing we didn't mention, too, it's critical in this movie that you not leave while the end credits are beginning to roll. There's something kind of mid-credit. To tell you the truth, I didn't stay to the bitter end, but I stayed to the mid-credit break, and I don't know how in the world they're ever going to top that. So I figured, well, this must be it. Plus, they brought up the lights, so I assumed that was done. So again, don't leave during the credits. Don Brinkerhoff is here with us to try to lay it out. And Don, you got some splinning to do.
I loved, Steve, that you called this a mess. To understand this movie, you would have needed to have read comics in the 1960s. This is Justice Society of America. This isn't even Justice League. This isn't even the Big Seven that we're all familiar with. No, this is going way back in the time machine. Now, the one thing I can say is that they were very true to the characters. Pierce Brosnan plays an amazing Dr. Fate. I don't know that I would have tried to put Dr. Fate on the big screen. That's kind of gutsy, yeah, because Dr. Fate is a mess by himself. Understand that Dr. Fate is, because of the visions that the helmet gives him, he is kind of crazy. He's kind of paranoid. You know, the fact that you can see the future and you know when people are going to die and other things kind of makes you, would kind of make you nuts, I guess. Hawkman, very true to the character. There is no humor in Hawkman, which they did a great job with this. Adam Smasher, who's the child of the Atom, it's DC's equivalent of Ant-Man. He shrinks, he gets big. And then the young female character, I'd never heard of her before, Cyclone. So somebody that they didn't even. But as far as Black Adam's
Don,
story, they're pretty close.
Yeah. Can I jump in here just a second, though, because you hit on something.
Yes.
And I kept going, did I mishear that? You know, the Justice Society. And I went, okay, I was just kind of beginning to get my arms around the Justice League. And so did it evolve into the League from the Society? Did it used to just be a clubhouse or what?
So Justice Society was essentially the first team up in comic books. And they existed until about the, I think it's 66, 67, and which is well before my time, so I did not read Justice Society comics. The Justice Society kind of became the Justice League, and you had the Justice League of America, you had Justice League Europe, you had, so during the 70s and 80s, you had Justice Leagues all over the planet. And then it just kind of became the Justice League or the JLA.
So it kind of becomes the shield of the DC universe.
Yeah, it's kind of it's kind of more like the Avengers. You know, we get together when there's a planetary threat.
Okay.
So
I like the fact that you said we get together because I know you are one of them. I've suspected it for years and years and years.
Meanwhile, I've given away my identity.
Just a quick question. When the Sarah character, she chews out the Justice Society for showing up only when they had a problem. I thought that was pretty interesting how that they, you know, just showed up because, you know, oh, no, we got to deal with old, Black Adam. They're like, wait a minute, he's kind of our guy. Go away. I thought that was actually a good moment.
That was really well done. Let's talk about Black Adam. Okay, Black Adam. Those of you that saw Shazam played the geek in
what's his last name?
Zachary. Zach Levy. If you've seen Shazam, what you need to understand is in Shazam, the wizard talks about, we chose a champion once before. That is Black Adam. Black Adam, or Adam Tent, as he was known originally, was the original Wizards Council champion. And Shazam actually is an acronym for the different powers that he's given, and it's actually Greek rather than, I don't know, they made up a new continent, but Shazam is these different people and their different abilities. So Mercury, Hercules, etc. Zeus.
I got a question for you. They didn't vet this guy very well.
I mean, they made him the superhero, and then 10 minutes later, they're like, oh, no, we got to put this guy down.
Yeah. Now, I actually kind of liked what they did with that, but I don't want to say anything because I'm afraid it would cause a spoiler. But I actually kind of did like what they did with that.
Before we get any deeper into this, and we're going to have to take a break here in a second, Black Adam himself and the portrayal that we have of Black Adam by Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, how did you feel about that? And then I want to know what your grade is of the movie.
I love Dwayne Johnson's portrayal of Black Adam. I think he did an incredibly good job. He's obviously studied the source material. Black Adam is one of those, I mean, he is on the Superman class, Shazam class. I mean, he can take a hit, he can deal it, he can deal out the damage. Dwayne Johnson does an incredible job kind of showing that and the anger and fury that kind of motivates him. In the comics, he's mad at the Wizards because they expelled him for 5,000 years. And that took me off too. Yeah, it kind of makes me mad. But anyway, so yeah, I thought he did an incredibly good job. All of the actors did a very good job with their characters. Pierce Brosnan, an amazing job with Dr. Fate, even though I personally would never try to do that. I'm a little more generous than you are, Doug. I gave it a B, leaning towards a B plus. So kind of a three stars range. But you have to understand, I know the history and I understand all the backstory, which helped me out. And the mid-credit scene, let's see, 16 stars out of 4.
I hate this term because it's so overused in social media, media and clickbait, but there's for many people a jaw-dropping scene. So anyway, Don, we appreciate you being letting us tap into your expertise.
You bet. You probably heard me during that mid-credit scene, actually.
You were the one gasping.
I was the one that yelled, yes. Little...
Ah, there we go. Don Brinkerhoff with... And turn to him when we have any kind of DC questions. And, Don, thank you for being part of the movie show. So, Steve, you're giving it a B minus, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and then I'm giving it 2.5, which is fundamentally a B minus or a C plus, and Don is giving it a little, kind of a half a tick higher than all of us are. All right, and again, it's Black Adam. What's that?
Where they all went to, did they break into the X-Men house and steal their jet? What was that about?
I know. There are so many similarities. As you mentioned, Steve, earlier in your review, you went, wow, now that's familiar. Ooh, now what's that? Well, isn't there a kind of a Marvel tie-in to that? Well, now, wait a minute. This Shazam thing? Haven't we seen this before, but not with him? So I'm still so confused. It's 9:47 ASL.
The Movie Show.
What about that ship?
The garbage will do.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Still to come on the movie show today, we've got a lot to talk about. We spent some time talking about Black Adam because, first of all, it is a big release that a lot of people have been looking forward to. And honestly, for Steve and for me, we had to bring on Don Brinkerhoff to kind of give us a little of the background on Black Adam. And boy, when he starts talking about, well, this is from the comics back in the 1960s, and you go, well, that's not a big deal because, you know, Superman goes back to 1936, but... everybody's familiar with Superman. Everybody's familiar with Batman. Everybody's familiar with that. But, man, I'll tell you, this was a tough one for me. Steve, just very quickly, could you bring us up to speed? I'm looking down this list of movies, and so we mentioned everything. Is there one that we can just mention here in a minute or so? I'm looking at Raymond and Ray, Decision to Leave. Any of those that we can handle fairly quickly?
Wow, those are both good films. I'd rather do The School of Good and Evil.
Still, that's a good one for me too. And let's not even deal with the sound on that. I watched that last night, and it's kind of a play on fairy tales and everything else. And basically, there's this universe that keeps the balance on behalf of us all, so all of the real evil can stay within the fairy tales. And these two young girls from this village, who are very different, they end up being scurried away to the School of Good and Evil. But it's interesting how it cross-pollinates. I mean, is the School of Evil really the evil one, or is the School of Good really the good one? And there's some star power, Steve, in this that was really kind of mind-blowing for me. I looked at one, I went, is that really Charlize Theron? It is. Is that really one? Yeah, it is. Is that really Lawrence Fishburne? It is.
I know. Kerry Washington's in it. And I thought, well, and Paul Feig directed this, the guy that did Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
So that's why I watched the darn thing, but... the story is not there. It's just weak sauce. I thought they borrowed from Cinderella, from Harry Potter, and none of it even came close to matching those other films. So a C from me for The School for Good and Evil.
Yeah, yeah. The same thing, you know, when they're taking the girls to the schools and dropping them off, it's like there's evil Hogwarts over here and there's good Hogwarts over here. It looked and so many weird things in it. So, yeah, it wasn't very satisfying for me either. What's the grade on this one, Steve?
I gave it a C.
Yeah, same thing for me. And it's streaming right now on Netflix, School for Good and Evil.
The Movie Show.
Fredo, you're my older brother, and I love you. But don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again. Ever.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
For so many years now, I have so looked forward to the opportunity that we have had to talk with the great people at the Tabernacle Choir on Temple Square about special things that are coming up, whether it's for the Pioneer Day celebration concerts, and in this case, the upcoming Christmas season. And we are truly, truly grateful to Mac Wilberg and Ron Gunnell joining us today. Mac, of course, music director, the conductor of the Tabernacle Choir and the orchestra and the bells on Temple Square. Ron Gunnell is the assistant to the president of the Tabernacle Choir. And gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us here today on the Movie Show. Maybe I could throw it to you first, Mac, and just talk about what we've been through for the last 2 years. For heaven's sake, nothing has been the norm. What are you anticipating for the Christmas concert, the holiday concert that is coming up now just around the corner?
Well, Doug, it's always such a great pleasure to be with you, and thank you for inviting us yet again to make this great announcement this morning. As you know, 2 years ago, we didn't do a concert at all. Last year, we actually did a taping of a program for just a very limited audience, and folks will be able to view that program this year, both on PBS and BYU TV, as well as the DVD and the CD are also available. But this is the first time in 2 years that we're actually making a great announcement about our Christmas concert this year. And again, we're so grateful to be with you.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to the official announcement. But before we do introduce our audience to the guest and make the official announcement, Ron Gunnell, I know you travel the planet and you are flying around and always arranging for some of the great world-class talent that we have been blessed with here in this area for various concerts over the years. And during COVID, that must have been a real challenge. Do you plan? Do you don't plan? How do you work? How do you sign deals? How do you even put this together? That has to be an incredible challenge.
Well, particularly last year with this limited audience, Neil McDonough and Megan Hilty were still thrilled to come and participate. Because, you know, we have the wonderful PBS audience around the country that we air this program. And so while the audience was limited in the house, they'll perform, like Max said, to millions of viewers this Christmas on the program called Oh Holy Night with the Tabernacle Choir. They were absolutely remarkable guest artists last year. We loved having them. And I think you'll see through the promotional aspects of PBS and us their excitement to air this show this year.
Absolutely. And, boy, I'll tell you, these folks can keep a secret. I try to wheedle this out of them all year long. When we talked last July, I was trying to get the info out. Lips are sealed on this one. And I didn't know who the special guest was going to be this year until about a half hour ago when you forwarded the press release to us. And I don't know, Mac, maybe you could make the official announcement because we have her on the line right now. Tell us who is the special guest of the Tabernacle Choir, the bells on Temple Square, and, of course, the orchestra on Temple Square this year for the Christmas concert.
Thank you, Doug. We're very excited and honored to announce that our guest artist for the Christmas concert this year will be Leia Salonga.
And I believe we have Leia Salonga on the line with us. And Ms. Salonga, thank you so much for joining us here on KSL today. And I cannot tell you how excited I am. My wife is going to go nuts when she finds out who is going to be appearing with our choir. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
I think of some of the things that I knew about you prior, and then plus thanks to the press release that I have before me from the Tabernacle Choir on Temple Square. And, of course, Disney fans absolutely love your performances. The Tony Awards for the amazing things that you have done on Broadway, Miss Saigon. It is an incredible legacy. I understand that you've even been named a Disney legend because of your portrayal and supplying voice for Princess Jasmine and in the Mulan movies. This is a crowd pleaser from beginning to end in every age group.
I hope so. Yeah, I guess my career has been going gangbusters since Miss Saigon in London, and it seems like there's no signs of stopping. I'm now in my 50s, and I've now been invited to sing along with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and it's something I've never done, and it's something I'm really looking forward to doing. I mean, the sound that everybody makes and harmony is just stunning. So it's going to be a treat for my ears when I finally get to start working with everybody.
Every year when I've had the chance to talk with some of the special artists, I've always asked this question. Tabernacle Choir is world renowned. I think the only other choir that probably has the notoriety would be the Vienna Boys Choir. And
right.
When I ask people, when you think of actually performing with this amazing choir, what's the first thing that kind of pops to your mind? What kind of reaction did you have when you realized that not only you had been approached, but it was a done deal, you're going to be singing here?
What did I first think about? Well, I was reminded by the good folks of NTC, it's pretty high up here, so you might want to think about that. So because of the altitude and the location. And then they said, but you've performed at Brigham Young before. And I said, yeah. But yeah, you'll be fine. I said, okay, I think I will be. I just have to be really, I guess, careful. I think the thing that does enter my mind when I think about the Mormon Tabernacle Choir is just the sheer size of the choir. It's like many voices strong. So I think that was the one thing that I think popped into my head when the invitation came. It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So many voices singing all at once.
You know, it's interesting you'd mention the altitude. I remember seeing a concert with Mandy Patinkin, and he performed beautifully. But after one particularly, raucous song that really taxed him, I remember he just looked at the audience afterwards, after that final note, and go, I am out of breath. I've heard that from athletes at this altitude and so on. Mm-hmm. But as far as the music that will be performed, I always try to wheedle this out of Mac, and he never cracks on this one. But how much input are you going to have on perhaps some favorites of your own that you'd like to sing at this holiday season?
Thankfully, it's actually quite collaborative. We had our first meeting this week. I mean, there are still a couple of things that we have to try and figure out. But it's suggestions come from both sides of the table, and it's quite exciting to know that I can actually make a suggestion that it is possible for a particular song to be performed. So I've been racking my brain since then, trying to figure it out, and trying to enlist a few other brains to help me figure that out. But nope, this nut's not going to crack either.
See, I always try to go through the back door here and see if I can maybe catch somebody unawares. But I'll tell you, when the Tabernacle Choir on Temple Square decides that they're going to keep a secret, they do keep a secret. And we are just so delighted that you are going to be part of our holiday and Christmas season this year. And Leia Salonga, it's a real honor to have you on the radio program today. And I didn't even mention your HBO Max Pretty Little Liars appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got it covered. You've got it covered. Anything else, you know, coming up other than, of course, this little detail of singing at this amazing Christmas event? Any other things that we need to be watching out so we can see your talents on display?
I think that might be it. I think a Google search might help to, you know, let people be aware, I guess, of what I'm busy with. I just finished a couple of concert tours, one in the U.S. and another one in the U.K. So right now I'm just being a mom to a 16-year-old who's in high school. So that's kind of the primary occupation for right now until I head over to Salt Lake City to start working.
We are so looking forward to having you here and just that you enjoy, you know, spending that time with us during the holiday season. And Mac and Ron, thank you. And you guys have outdone yourself. This is spectacular. As I mentioned, my wife is such a fan. She is just going to go absolutely crazy when she's back in New York right now on a Broadway tour. It was a package that she and a friend put together 3 years ago, and because of COVID they had to wait to right now. Last night I think they saw Funny Girl. Tonight I think they're seeing Hugh Jackman in the Music Man. And when I tell Dee that Leia Salonga is going to be here in Salt Lake City, she's going to go nuts, gentlemen.
Well, we're excited for that.
Leia?
Yeah.
Just good to hear your voice, Leia, and we're very excited for you to join us.
Oh, I'm excited too. Thank you. Thank you, you guys.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And now I've got to ask how we get our tickets this year, and maybe, Ron, I could ask that question of you. What's the best way? What is the way to get your tickets?
Well, first off, thank you, Doug. I think we want to encourage everyone to go to tabchoir.org/Christmas tickets for really the full details. You know, we always want to make sure that the selection process is the fairest way to do things. It's totally random. Everybody has an equal chance, and I think the details on that website will explain everything in full. They can register now through midnight on Sunday, October 30th. That's not a guarantee that they're going to get tickets, but you know, everyone should try to register for that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And the performances this year, is it going to be the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday performances?
15, 16, 17.
Yes.
Yeah, 15th, 16th, and 17th.
15th, 16th, and 17th. You know, Ron, when you reached out to Ms. Salonga, that, you know, you've told me some background stories of what some of these opportunities and some of the reaching out to artists around the world. You've had some great, great backstories. What was it like when you reached out to this amazing talent?
Well, thank you, Doug. Again, I reached out, of course, to her agent, and he was really great to work with. We talked through some logistics and some contractual things, like I always do. But it was really fairly simple this year. I was very happy, and they were very excited with the prospects of doing this. So in this particular case, it was very easy. It's not hard to sell the Tabernacle Choir and its Christmas event. It's such a iconic, historic program for so many years. So we don't have much trouble getting a positive response from our invitees.
And as we've mentioned before, as has already come up even in our conversation today, this not only ends up being the Christmas concert, you know, in the for the choir here in Salt Lake City and the live performances, but it ends up being a beloved PBS event, and it ends up on DVD and CD and everything else. It becomes part of our Christmases in the future. Mac, this is going to be your last chance, my friend, to really lay out what all those great tunes are going to be and what great songs you're going to do, and I'm sure you're dying to do that right now.
Well, all I can say is there are going to be some great moments, and I always say that the magic happens in the live performance, and so yeah. we want everyone to come and be delighted and surprised by what they both hear and see.
Well, isn't that true? With all of the great recordings and the great presentations, television, streaming, everything else, there is nothing like sitting in an audience, sitting in that amazing venue that we have at the conference center, hearing the music, seeing the organist, seeing the various instruments, the great soloists, and of course that choir, to actually see it and be there live is an experience like no other. Gentlemen, thank you so very, very much to Miss Leah Salonga. Thank you for sharing your talents with us. And Mac and Ron, your great friends, thank you again for sharing this moment with us here on KSL.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you very much, Doug.
Boy, what an announcement. First of all, this is a big deal all way around. We're going back to quote-unquote normal, and the opportunity to have these concerts with the traditional crowds and traditional things that we have loved over the years, to have an amazing talent like Leah Salonga joining us, just incredible. And again, that's coming up December 15th, 16th, and 17th. More information, of course, as they mentioned, at tabchoir.org, and beginning midnight Sunday, October 30th. That is great.
This is Lowell Thomas speaking, flashing to you the news of the world.
We return now to the KSL Newsreel. The biggest stories from the world of movies, cinema, and the star-studded glamour of Hollywood.
Okay, a little movie news for you here on the movie show. And Steve is back with us on the line today, protecting us all from the dreaded vid. And boy, Steve, I thought you were going to make it all the way through this. I was so surprised when I heard that it finally got you too.
You know, I was equally surprised because I've had like 14,000 shots, and you know, I'm repulsed by most people, so I figured I was safe.
Yeah, most people have always been doing social distancing with Steve, you know, but no,
yeah, I thought I was home free, but no.
I'm glad you're doing better, though. Glad you're doing better.
Yeah, no.
All right. Thanks. Caught this the other day. Martin Short, Shania Twain, and David Alan Grier. What do they have in common? Ringing a bell?
No idea.
There? Upcoming, they're all going to be in the special Beauty and the Beast. The 30th anniversary, Lumiere will be Martin Short. Mrs. Potts will be Shania Twain, and Cogsworth will be David. And then, of course, this is on top of Gabrielle Wilson, better known as H.E.R., her as Belle, and Josh Groban will be the Beast, and Joshua Henry as Gaston. And the special will include live, never-before-seen musical performances, new sets, costumes, everything. And from what we understand, Hamish Hamilton is set to direct, and this will be presented by the Wonderful World of Disney. It'll be a two-hour reimagining that will air on Thursday, December 15th, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ABC, and then will be available the next day on Disney Plus, and it will be taped in front of a live audience at the Disney Studios. So that's a big one, live performance of Beauty and the Beast.
Well, milk that beast for all it's worth.
Boy, no kidding.
We've got a new movie coming out next month called Sam and Kate. Unfortunately, it doesn't make much sense because it's a family story featuring a guy named Bill, played by Dustin Hoffman, and a woman named Tina, played by Sissy Spacek. Here's where it gets interesting. They are parents of these grown children, Sam and Kate, played by Jake Hoffman, his real son, Dustin Hoffman's son, and Schuyler Fisk, who is Sissy Spacek's real daughter.
Wow.
So it'll be kind of a family dynamic. The they're getting older and their kids are meeting, and it looks like it's going to be a fun little film that'll be on November 11th in theaters near you.
Interesting. Speaking of superheroes and villains and so on, this is the headline, Ironheart. Sacha Baron Cohen could play the long-awaited Marvel villain Mephisto. There's been talk about this for some time, him being part of Ironheart. And, you know, who knows? Mephisto first appeared in the comic books in the Silver Surfer 3, number 3, back in 1968. Steve, I'm sure you're right up to speed on all this. One of Marvel's more supernatural villains here traditionally is tussling with the likes of Ghost Rider, Doctor Strange, and Scarlet Witch. Mephisto is expected to appear in numerous projects, not just in Ironheart. And, of course, you know, famous for Borat, and I thought one of his best performances ever in the Trial of the Chicago 7. So, Baron Cohen. And once again, I'll have to check in with my comic book geeks to see if they're thrilled about that or not. What have you got, Stephen?
The 90th Hollywood Christmas Parade Grand Marshal has been announced, and you couldn't guess it in a thousand years. It will be Danny Trejo.
Yes. Oh, really?
Machete.
Uh-huh.
And he was the in Desperado. You know, he's done. He's actually got 15 movies currently in production, and the Hollywood Christmas Parade supports the Marines' Toys for Tots.
Yeah.
And on the float will be Danny Trejo, hopefully not with his machete.
Boy, when you think of an actor being one of a kind, he's it.
Yeah.
And you can see how for certain roles, there's nobody that can pull it off like him. All right, we all remember the movie Twister, right? Well, how about a sequel to the 1996 movie? And Twisters, we hear, is about ready to head into production. It was back in 1996 that Bill Paxton, sadly we've lost him, but Helen Hunt also starred, Cary Elwes as Storm Chasers. Frank Marshall is set to produce the upcoming sequel. Now, apparently this has been in the works since 2020. For the last 2 years, I've been talking about this. Very little is known about it. We do hear that Steven Spielberg has looked at the script and was fairly impressed. So, Warner Brothers hopes to bring back Helen Hunt for the sequel. It will focus on the daughter of the character she played in the first movie, and apparently she has caught the storm-chasing bug. So, no word on when we can look forward to this or whatever, but just that it's in the works, and Spielberg apparently liked the script.
Will the cow be back? Is that
I don't
a possibility?
Know. I don't know. Or that tumbling semi-truck, you know, gasoline thing. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, man. Ooh. That was an amazing movie. I like it, too, when they're hiding out, you know, and they're going down into that one barn or whatever it was, and it looks like, you know, it looks like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre guy lives there.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that was creepy. It reminds me of that commercial. Why did we get behind the wall of chainsaws?
I know. Got anything else for us, Stephen?
Nope, that's it.
All right, that does it for our movie news here at KSL News Radio. Let's go ahead and take a brief respite. We shall come back with more of the movie show. And which movie of the remainders do you want to... That sounded like they're on the remainder table. That's not it. There's some great movies here. Which one do you want to look at?
Well, we should probably talk about Ticket to Paradise.
Ticket to Paradise, that's coming up next here on The Movie.
The Movie Show.
Look at him. He's heading for that small moon.
I think I can get him before he gets there. He's almost in range.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
In just a moment, we'll review Ticket to Paradise. But first, I want to check in again with Sandy and let everybody know what is happening this weekend. 55% off the Minky that you have been wanting. Some items even a little bit more. And you mentioned this orange and white check over here. You call that the van blanket?
The vans. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The ones that the skeleton has on his lap.
Ah.
I don't know why people love skeletons.
I know
That's
they do.
Creepy to me.
I know. And it's amazing. You know, you drive by and, you know, if there's a swing on a front porch, there's a skeleton in it. The baker who shall not be named, you know, years ago, I remember he would bring up his antique Volkswagen and he'd put two skeletons, you know, like they were dressed up to get married.
And, oh, that's cute.
Yeah. Everybody loves skeletons. I don't know what the deal
sure
is.
They sure do. And I, they, yeah.
Yeah. Now, You know, we were talking about this. Everybody is ordering online, and you know, it's the same with a Minky. But now, for people outside of the area, that makes a whole lot of sense. But if you're kind of in range of a store, come on in.
Absolutely, come in, because if you've never had a Minky, it's just so fun. A, to see all the colors.
Right.
B, we do have some that are unpackaged out, so you can touch them and feel them.
Right.
And once you feel how luxurious they are and thick and they're just soft and just feel cozy.
It is. It's like, you know, we talk about comfort food. This is the comfort blanket.
Mm-hmm. Definitely the comfort blanket. Just like a Cloud whipped cream. I don't know. Whatever.
It's hard to describe it. I thought Steve described it really well once when he said, when you pull that blanket up over you, it's almost just like it becomes liquid. It is just
liquid
amazing.
Gold.
Mm-hmm. Now, you can order online, of course, and it's MinkyCouture.com.
MinkyCouture.com. And you put in the code.
Right.
Doug,
the code
55.
Doug 55 and Steve 55.
Uh-huh.
And so anyway, it's
is Steve listening to you?
Yeah, I know. He's harumphing, right?
I can hear him.
Yeah, harumph, harumph, harumph. But really, if you come on in, you know, your eyes will be opened to colors you'd never imagined, like seafoam.
Exactly, like seafoam or taffy pink or ballerina pink or blush pink.
Yep.
There's just everything for your teenage girl, your teenage son, your grandma, your grandpa, your niece, your newborn.
Yep.
Literally from those cute little babies to those cute little elderly, you just have blankets for everyone.
And when we mention dogs, we're not kidding.
We
have pet minkies.
We have pet lovers.
Mm-hmm, I noticed that one skeleton is upside down. Oh, maybe it's because he's above the cookies.
Oh, he does look. Yeah,
are those cookies?
He's doing acrobats. Yes,
those
you don't
cookies,
have a cookie. Right. Hey,
those are cookies over there.
Give him a cookie. Yes,
that's at this
the
location.
Chocolate one is the best.
And for you know, humble, normal folks like myself.
Yes.
They're available.
Yes, you're going to take a few home.
Oh, it's time for a break. No. Okay. Minky Couture, this sale we're talking about, the 55 off on everything.
All the blankets.
And some are even a little more discounted than that.
Some are deeper discounted.
Take advantage of it all this weekend, today, tomorrow, and you can buy online on Sunday.
Yes, absolutely online on Sunday till midnight.
Okay, 55. percent off on the Minky Coutures. All right, it is 10:53 at KSL News Radio, and let's get a little sound on the movie called Ticket to Paradise.
Her life away. We need to trick her into dumping him. As much as this will pain us both, we have to call a truce to make this work.
We have to be in lockstep.
Hey!
Did you make a pact to not murder each other until you murder me first?
We are here for you, my love.
Yes, we're in lockstep.
Yes.
Okay, Stephen, what did you think of Ticket to Paradise? I've seen the trailers on this. I've wanted to see it. We've got the reteaming of Clooney and Julia Roberts. What did you think of it?
Well, that's the first thing. This is the sixth film they've done together. Although the two Oceans movies made up 80% of the box office that they've gotten. So some of their movies have not clicked all that well, but this one is pretty cute, I have to admit it. They play David and Georgia. They're divorced parents who can't stand each other. They're heading to Bali after their daughter, Lily, played by, what's her name? She was in the new movie.
I wish I could help.
Anyway, I'll come up with it. It's Devers, her last name.
We'll
anyway,
look it up.
She's in that.
Caitlin Devers.
Caitlin Devers, yes, there it is. She's gone off to Bali with her girlfriend and in the process has decided to marry a local islander while she's been on holiday. Well, the parents freak out and they decide, well, we better get over there and put a stop to this because she's supposed to be coming home and she's graduated from law school. So she's supposed to be a lawyer. And they think that she's ruining her life. But then when you meet this kid, he's pretty cool. And so you're thinking, okay, they're probably going to have to do some renegotiating here because obviously these two really care about each other. And in the process of them hating each other, they've, figured some things out. Julia Roberts has a boyfriend who is a French pilot, and he's a little goofy, but he's kind of fun. The Islander thing is very cool. The culture and everything is on display. Then I found out, my first thought was, because I know Dee went to Bali a couple of years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and
yeah,
I thought, this is gorgeous. The problem is, it wasn't shot there. It was shot in Queensland, Australia. This is a great, talk about a cool film to, you know, highlight Bali. No, it's Queensland. Anyway, it's a cute movie.
Oh, wow.
Here's the thing. When they're trying to be silly, it doesn't work very well. There's some pratfalls, almost Three Stooges-like,
yeah.
When the guy's, you know, going to ask her to marry him, you know, he jumps up really quick and bumps her nose and just weird stuff.
Yeah.
But when they're serious and actually talking through some of their issues and, you know, expressing their love for their daughter, it works. And the Islanders are just lovely people. So I gave it a B. And it's just one of those movies that we haven't seen for a while and just a sweet little rom-com.
Is it PG
of America's great actors? It's PG-13.
PG or PG-13? PG-13. All right. And again, the title is Ticket to Paradise Show.
The Movie Show.
We've got two stories here. We've got a story about degenerate clergy, and we've got a story about a bunch of lawyers turning child abuse into a cottage industry. Now, which story do you want us to write? Because we're writing one of them.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Okay, Steve, I think it's time. I'm feeling that it's time, ladies and gentlemen, for the movie show Top 10.
I'm Mr. Ed.
That's to make up for last week. A little hard.
Maybe they can throw a blanket on that over that old nag.
A minky. I'm just in the place. You know, I mean, they have dog blankets. Why wouldn't they have a Mr. Ed blanket? Of course, when people say Mr. Ed, I have no idea what they're even talking about here. But, you know, last week we were a little reserved because we were in the ship chapel. I'm not kidding. And so I did a little toned down version of the movie show Top 10. I thought it was
It was like a golf version.
Golf version. Okay, that conjures up some interesting images. Well, the movie show Top 10, ladies and gentlemen, is sponsored really, 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 really proudly by our friends that are just down the road a piece from where I'm broadcasting right here. It's called Climate Services. And boy, right now, look at the weather forecast you've been hearing all morning on KSL for the next little while, and they're going to be cranking up the old furnace, so make sure that things are ready to go with a little help from Call Climate Services. Well, once again, I got something absolutely right. I predicted 3 weeks ago that Top Gun Maverick was going to drop out of the top 10. No, it has not. It is still in 21 weeks. Do you realize, Steve, if it makes it another 4 or 5 weeks, for a half year, Maverick, Top Gun, has been in the top 10. And it's, you know, it's not cranking out the big, big bucks. But, hey, you know, you pick up $688,000 wherever you can, I always say.
Oh, it's crazy. It's coming up close to $1.5 billion worldwide. But it's still, that's only half of what Avatar sits at nearly $3 billion. Can you believe that?
I know. And Avatar, boy, it's been picking up the scattered dollars. But, however, it did drop out of the top 10 this week.
They pulled it out of the theaters. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. Number 9 is Bros. And, again, you know, this is a really interesting movie. I went in not knowing what I was going to see, and I laughed a lot. And I don't know if it's in the marketing of this. I don't know if it's in the subject matter of this. I don't know what it is. But this is a much better than an $11 million movie in its third week.
Yeah, they sold it as a gay rom-com. That was a mistake. It's just a good movie, and it's funny.
Yeah,
it happens to be about two gay guys, so, you know.
I was laughing out loud. I really was. Terrifier 2. You know, gosh, Steve, I've missed this one. I have not seen this.
Yeah, I didn't see the first one. So Art the Clown is back, and apparently he kills a lot of people. So, yay.
Oh, okay. Art the Clown. Ah, we got to love that. Barbarian, not a very good movie. It's been in the top 10 for 6 weeks. Hasn't really made a lot of money, but I don't know what the budget was on this. But, you know, hovering around $40 million domestically. Is this doing anything internationally?
It's done two.
Wow. Yeah, killing it. Don't Worry, Darling. This was a real disappointment. 4 weeks out now. It's been not a month, and it's down to just, you know, raking in a little over $2 million on the weekend gross. But, wow, $43 million on this. I was really disappointed in this movie.
Well, it didn't answer many questions that I had. I thought, well, did I fall asleep like Doug?
Oh, I know.
But it's at 79 if you add the foreign number, so that's decent.
You know, it left me with just aftermaths of Stepford Wives, and it shouldn't have, because there's no reason to think it's Stepford Wives. But there's no reason to think it's anything, because nothing is explained. And
yeah, it's very ambitious with no payoff.
Yeah, exactly. Amsterdam. This is a much better movie than would be indicated from its 2 weeks out and about $12 million. But it is quirky. It is rather complex. And it's a strange movie. But I found it strangely entertaining, and I really like this movie.
Yeah, I'm equally shocked. It's made $20 million worldwide. That is atrocious. For a David O. Russell movie, I don't know what happened there.
I know. I mean, you combine both these numbers, and it's not even what a really good, you know, movie should make on the opening weekend. The Woman King. You know, we talked about this last week with Dee, and she's not joining us today because she's back in New York. But The Woman King, I have to admit, I didn't know what to expect. And, you know, you watch the trailer and you go, wow, I really admire Viola Davis, and I really, wow, this... But I don't know what I'm going to go see. Well, when Dee and I did go see it, we were really pleasantly surprised at its depth, at its courage, at the compelling story that it told. I really liked The Woman King.
And I loved it. Not only is it a Viola Davis movie, but the other four women that are equally powerful in this film got equal credit, and I think it's a terrific movie.
Yeah. Lyle Crocodile. You know, I'm biased on this one because it's the first full-length motion picture that I've had the chance to take my grandson to. He's only 3 years old. And we just thoroughly enjoyed it together. Lyle Crocodile. It's a lot of fun. And in its 2 weeks, it's made about $23 million.
Yeah, only another four foreign. I don't get, is it because it's a crocodile? I don't get it.
I don't know either, because, you know, we've always said, you know, you come out with a halfway decent kids movie and you put it in the theater when there's a lot of heavy stuff and, you know, so on, and it usually just kills it. I don't know why. And Javier Bardem in this movie is absolutely amazing. So, you know, give it a shot this weekend. You're looking for something, you know, to take the kids to or the grandkids to. Go to Lyle Crocodile. Number two is Smile.
Yeah, this one is done extremely well. 74 domestic, 67 foreign at 141, and I still haven't caught up on it, but I'm told that this is a well-produced, well-crafted horror film.
Okay. Speaking of horror films, the number one movie is Halloween Ends. The question is, will Halloween ever end? And this made just a little over $40 million domestically. What are the international numbers on this, Steve?
19 foreign, so we're at 63 total, which is pretty decent. Well, you know, we'll see how it continues to, if it has legs.
Absolutely. Halloween Ends, the number one movie in
By the way,
America.
I just looked up the numbers for Black Adam made $7.6 million last night, whereas Ticket to Paradise made $1.1 million. So, but Black Adam cost $195 million to produce, whereas Ticket to Paradise cost $60, and they've already made $74 million internationally. So,
yeah. I'm going to be really interested to see what the opening weekend numbers are on Black Adam, and then to see what kind of legs it has in the following week. I think it'll be really interesting.
Sorry, the number they're looking at is $60 million. Either side of that. Obviously, if it's more, then they'll be happy.
The Movie Show.
So What are you proposing?
It's simple. Kill the Batman.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Okay, Stephen, you've got a dire responsibility here. We have Tar, we have Decision to Leave, we have Raymond and Ray to talk about. Which one do you want to go for?
Well, Tar is going to be the most mainstream, so we definitely want to mention that one.
Okay, let's do that right here. The movie Tar, a little sound.
I'm worried she's starting to disappear into herself.
You want to dance the mask, you must service the composer. You've got to sublimate yourself, your ego, and yes, your identity.
You must, in fact, stand in front of the public and God and obliterate yourself.
Boy, that sounds like a trip to the principal's office at Evergreen Junior High School back in the day.
Well, yeah, at one point she was hearing these dissonant sounds that were kind of making her crazy. This is based on a true story. Lydia Tarr, who is, she has an EGOT. I mean, she's one of 15 in the world that has won all of the, you know, the major awards. She was a principal conductor for several orchestras over the years, and then finally, the prestigious Berlin Orchestra. She was, you know, the head conductor, and it's played by Cate Blanchett. And this is there's a nomination for her in this, no question about it. She learns German. She learns how to conduct an orchestra, a 100-piece orchestra. She actually sits down with the Dresden Orchestra, who hadn't been together for a couple of years because of COVID. She sat down with him. She said, let's do this together. They did Mahler's Fifth Symphony. And it's basically a rehearsal film with a lot of personal stuff in between. She is mesmerizing in this movie. She will get nominated. And if you like Cate Blanchett, you're going to want to see this. The problem is it's like a master class in musicology. And if you're not into that, you might be bored with this film.
Wow.
I mean, the intricacies of, you know, time and pacing. I learned so much watching this, but sometimes you don't want to learn anything when you go see a movie.
Right.
So this is going to be a hard sell for a mainstream audience, but Cate Blanchett will be nominated for this movie, no question about it. And if you like her, you're going to probably want to see it. If you're not into, you know, orchestra, symphonies, stuff like that, this may not be your film.
Yeah, interesting. Isn't that amazing when you think of her and you think of her range and you think of the different roles? I mean, her playing Katharine Hepburn in The Aviator, you think, holy cow, can this woman do everything?
Yeah, and in fact, the director said he wouldn't even have done this film if Cate had said no.
Wow, wow.
That's how determined he was to get her in this part.
Incredible, incredible.
So it's in wide release, not massive, but it is out there in theaters. It's called Tar. And again, it's not an easy watch, but it is a brilliant performance.
Okay, and how many stars again, or what's the grade you're giving it?
I'm giving this a B+.
A B plus. For Tar. Okay, we're moving into our final half hour. We've still got a little telephone torture, a couple of other movies to talk about, and of course, we need to get into some of the streaming news that is coming up. Maybe, Steve, after this break, we could do some streaming news. Would that work for you?
Absolutely. Sure.
All right. So there you have it. Stay with us here on The Movie Show, and fabulous prizes, of course, worth up to dollars on The Movie Show, and we will have two tickets to the Megaplex Theater, two drinks to enjoy while you're there, and a tub of popcorn, telephone torture in the offing here at KSL News Radio. It is 11:30. Brief break. We'll be right back with more of the show.
The Movie Show.
Hey, look, he's trained.
Shake.
Uh-huh. Speak.
Hi there.
Did that dog just say hi there?
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
The Movie Show is originating from Minky Couture today, and Sandy Henry is here with me, and she's the big kahuna.
Okay.
The big kahuna.
Sounds like I'm going to do the hula.
Something like that of Minky Couture. You know, I think of how this started, and it is amazing what this has become, and everybody needs, everybody loves, everybody wants a Minky. And this is the day. You know, we were just talking about it. Look at the weather right
now.
It
is beautiful outside. It's 70 degrees. I've decided my perfect favorite temperature is 72.
Oh, perfect.
Yes,
absolutely.
Perfect.
But you remember when we had the big snowplow out here
that was
stopping?
Great.
He ran
got
in
out.
And bought his Christmas gifts and so on. You know, bad weather, beautiful weather, it doesn't matter. It's the perfect weather for a Minky. But boy, right now, before the weather changes, why don't you come on down to the store where the selection is spectacular? Plus, at this location, at the Mothership, we have cookies today.
Ooh, yes.
And plus, the opportunity to commune with the movie show.
With the movie show. And we're so excited to have you here. We really are. It's so fun to have guests and especially you guys. But literally tomorrow you might be making cookies or going to a soccer game and you'll go, why didn't I stop yesterday when it was beautiful weather and I didn't have to run through the rain?
And especially, and tomorrow will be you know, the same on the 55% discount, but you'll be buying it in
nicer
climb. Yeah, you might be all wet tomorrow. And then, of course, this sale goes on through Sunday night. So if you are online and you want to order on Sunday, you can do it that way.
Yes.
The stores will be closed.
All 3 days, Doug 55 and Steve 55.
And let's talk and Steve 55. I still can't quite get used to that.
Well,
it shows just what a big heart you have.
I feel bad. He's sick.
Oh, it's the pity factor. I knew there was a reason. So the more pathetic Steve becomes, the more likely it is to...
Well, for sure. He needs to pick me up.
Okay.
Something
Sorry,
to brighten
Sandy,
his
I've
day.
Been sick for a long, long time.
Yeah, define sick for me,
I
would you?
I can't imagine how sick you'll be next time we see you.
Ooh, 55% off your Minky, and then some of them, too. You mentioned this Vans up here.
Some of the Vans.
That is a cool-looking blanket. It caught my attention when I came in. It's an orange and white check. And it is really cool.
It's really cool. We have it in blush and blue and lavender and a multicolored blanket. We have it in black and white, like the shoes.
Right.
Just literally, there's something for everyone, no matter what your age, what your style, whether you're a dressy or a casual or a camo or a fufu.
That's right.
A fluff, you know, somebody more dressy.
Something a little frou-frou like Steve would like.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
you got any more of
tutu?
Those Dude Ranch cow print things?
Oh,
right up there.
Yes.
I'm looking at it right here.
That's one of our most popular prints, too.
It is cool.
I was surprised. Now we have an order that's coming in the spring in the brown and white.
Ooh, I like
cow.
That.
Yeah, because,
brown and white cow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. We're very open-minded
yes,
here.
Yes, we have to be equal.
That's right. That equal opportunity cow patterns.
Yes.
Of course.
We love the cow. We do.
I have such a great line, and I'm not even going to use it.
Okay.
It is 55% off right now on your Minky Couture blankets. Drop in the store if you can. It's just a great pleasure to be here in the selection. But don't forget, you can also buy online. I understand it's humming online today. What's the deal?
Oh, it's humming online. And because we have the hugs, which are the stretchy hugs your back, then we have the lush. We just have so many collections, and I think people are taking advantage of the 55%.
Absolutely, 55% off, thanks to
The Movie Show and Doug 55.
And Doug 55. Maybe Steve 55, if we're being really charitable on that one. All right, hey, it is time for a little streaming news. Let's get the official opening. Here we go.
Planning on a weekend of binge-watching? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Doug and Steve sort through it all, so you only binge the best. It's the Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
Okay, Steve, I know what a fan you are of She-Hulk Attorney at Law, but are you hearing these rumblings? And they're coming from Tatiana herself, who plays She-Hulk, and she is saying, I'm not quite sure if a renewal will be happening. She told that to Extra. And she said, I mean, I don't think so yet. And, you know, she goes on, and I don't know if this is kind of like, you know, the Paul's Dead thing and get everybody talking about it so you sell more Abbey Road albums. But, you know, I can't imagine with the way you've been raving about this, the way others have been receiving it, that there will not be a second season. Are you hearing any rumblings?
Not a word. This sounds like negotiation for a salary raise.
Okay, I want a better contract. Okay, what do you have for us, Stephen?
Well, ho, ho, ho.
Ho.
Oh,
this isn't
A Christmas Story Christmas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah?
Really?
Ralphie, now an adult, this is Peter Billingsley, returns to the house on Cleveland Street to give his kids a magical Christmas like he had, his memory must be wrong, when he was a kid, reconnecting with his childhood friends. Get this, Farkas, Flick, Schwartz, and even his little brother, Randy, will all be in it. And he's dealing with the passing of his father. You know,
the
Darren McGavin passed away in 2006. No word whether Mother Parker, Melinda Dillon, will be in this production, but it will be on HBO Max on November 17th, A Christmas Story Christmas.
Boy, there's nothing in between either on this. We're either going to love it or we will absolutely hate it. I just can't I can't see how that's going to really kind of hit the notes with me, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll leave the jury out. Okay. I thought when you mentioned the ho, 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 I thought you were going to talking about The Great Pumpkin. For only the second time since 1966, It's The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown won't air on traditional television. We talked about this last year. Regretfully, PBS, they don't have the rights to distribute the Peanuts special this year. But it will be in a different pumpkin patch. Another cute way of putting it. Fans of the series will be able to watch the special on Apple TV Plus for free for a limited time. Apple TV Plus will provide a special free window for non-subscribers to watch the holiday specials on these dates. October 28th through the 31st, It's The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. November 23rd through the 27th, A Charlie Brown Christmas, Thanksgiving, pardon me. And then December 22nd through the 25th, A Charlie Brown Christmas. So there you go. I just hope when we get lured into Apple Plus, it won't be with your, you know, your, by the way, by watching this, you're committing to this until you tell us to cancel. I hope there's no strings attached on this. And I'll
well, I got to tell you, as far as content and quality, and it's only $5 a month. I'm not promoting Apple TV Plus, but they have some great stuff.
They do. They do.
On their list. And, it's
and that's
$5.
The Ted Lasso channel, if I'm remembering right.
Yes,
isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, right, what have
Aquaman.
You got?
Aquaman. The guy that played his dad, you know, and Jason Momoa, who starred in Aquaman.
Right.
Aquaman. He has written, not only he stars in, and he's written a limited series called Chief of War. And this has nothing to do with anything, but it is an Apple TV Plus limited series. But it's about the unification and colonization of Hawaii, but from an indigenous perspective. There's no word on when that's going to play out, but Jason Momoa stars and writes.
Wow.
Chief of War.
Very cool. Yeah. All right. Anything else for us, Stephen?
Well, one little note. They've added a they're asking Netflix to add a disclaimer to season 5 trailer of The Crown, which starts on November 9th.
Yeah.
Dame Judi Dench threw a fit. She says they've taken advantage of the situation and it is crude sensationalism. She's just worried that people are going to watch this season 5 of The Crown and think it's real when in fact it is a dramatization of, you know, what the royals have gone through. So if you've ticked off Dame Judi Dench, you've done a disservice.
That's serious business. Yeah, that is.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with the dame.
No, you don't want to mess with her. All right, there you have it. Yeah. Our streaming news at KSL News Radio. All right, we still have Telephone Torture coming up, and just a quick look at a couple of more films. And of course, we'll talk again with Sandy in just a few moments about what's happening here at Minky Couture. And oh, don't miss this opportunity. 55% off. That is a great, great deal. I mean, she's offered 50% off before, but with inflation and all of the
things. I think only one other time we had a 55, and
this is
everybody
amazing.
Went nuts.
Yep, they went absolutely crazy. And from what I understand, you know, we've had some nice folks come in, you know, but holy cow, I guess people are buying like crazy online today. And hey, that's fine. But wow, you know, come on into the stores and see what the full selection is. We'll talk more with Sandy coming up in just a moment here on The Movie Show.
The Movie Show.
Where are you now?
I'm sitting in my office.
I doubt that.
Why would you doubt that?
If you were in your office right now, we'd be having this conversation face to face.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Steve, could you just quickly bring us up to speed, and then we'll do a little telephone torture on Decision to Leave and Raymond and Ray?
Yes, absolutely. Decision to Leave is a South Korean movie, and those directors over there, they are pushing themselves to do amazing work. This is Parasite quality. Kind of a film noir about, I almost like want to describe it as Body Heat. A murder mystery, and the guy's trying to solve it, and the woman is just really beguiling. It is brilliant. This might win Best Foreign Language Film of the Year. It's called Decision to Leave, rated R, and it's in release, wide release. Raymond and Ray is an Apple TV Plus story with Ewan McGregor and Ethan Hawke as half-brothers having to go to another town to bury their father, who was a complete jerk to both of them, including he's insisting that they dig his grave, and it's all about them kind of coming to grips with him and the life they had with him. If you like those two actors, it's a great character piece on Apple TV+.
Okay, Raymond and Ray. All right, yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Telephone Torture here at KSL News Radio, sponsored by our friends at the Megaplex Theaters. And Steve, I'm sure that you're getting the vibe because I'm sending the number 2 to you. Are you receiving that?
My ears work. I haven't been in my hearing centers yet. So.
Yeah, you break into a coughing spell there? I didn't mean to.
Well, sorry. Yeah.
Shock you there.
Hanging on.
Little COVID hangover.
Number 2.
Okay, number 2. So, yeah. 2 tickets to the Megaplex Theaters, 2 drinks, and a tub of popcorn. And let's go to caller number 1, who will be our one and only pathetic loser on the program today. And hi, who's this? Hello? Hello, loser. Nobody wants to be the loser. Yeah, see, back in the old days, people took pride in being the loser. But now they think, well, maybe if I call back really fast, I can be the wiener. And you know, what can I say? So let's go back to the phone line.
Has no fun if you don't answer.
I know. I know. All right. Hi, who's this? Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing?
This is Donna.
Hey.
I hope I'm the right caller.
No, you're not. You're caller number 1. But on one sense, that is absolutely the right caller to be because you have exclusivity. You are the one. You're the one and only loser today. How does that make you feel?
Oh, my gosh. That's not good for me.
Well, it's good for the rest of us. No, I'm just kidding.
All right.
All right.
I'll give you a call back. Bye-bye. Yeah. Have a good day.
Okay, you have a good day, too, and let's loserize her here.
Your best. Losers always whine about their best.
Okay, one loser on the show today. Let's go back to the phone lines and find out who our one and only wiener is going to be. Hi, who's this?
This is David.
Hey, how are you?
Well, I'm really good now.
You are really good because you are a big
wiener!
Of course you are. You got a big wiener here on the movie show. You've won fabulous prizes worth up to...
Dollars.
Dollars. Of course you have. Now, you've won 2 tickets to the Megaplex Theaters. You've won 2 drinks. You've won a tub of popcorn. And one little thing you have to do before we can bestow those upon you is make the losers feel better. And how does, or the loser today feel better. How do we do that?
Well, let's have the Sultan of Swoon make her feel better.
Ooh, the Sultan of Swoon. Here's to the losers. Yeah. Here's to the losers. You gotta love Frank. He's the only guy that could sing this song, isn't he, huh? I know. Bless all the losers. We love you who lose each and every week here on the movie show. It's somewhat of a Utah tradition. All right, it is 11:58, but speaking of being... Oh, and our thanks to the Megaplex Theaters, of course.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold.
Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.